Now, the last story that I wanted to mention is a science paper that recently came out and is broadly discussed, not just in virology, but also in society. And this is a paper about a virus that was generated by artificial intelligence.
Virological with Florian Kramer.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Virological. This was recorded on August 9th of 2026 in New York. So I thought I'll do a little bit of a virology update today. There's a number of stories that are worth mentioning. Some of them don't warrant a full episode, but I think it's interesting to mention these things. And so we're kind of doing four little stories today. The first one is a story about Switzerland. So in July of 2026, so basically a few weeks ago, reports came out of Switzerland about thousands of cows that were affected by disease. It's super hot in Europe right now. And so I think one of the ideas was that this is caused by the heat and that might be the reason for this disease. The animals showed fever, diarrhea, loss of appetite, and also loss of milk production. And the symptoms typically lasted 14 to 21 days. None of these cows died, but there was a proper investigation and it turned out, no, this was not just the heat. Maybe the heat kind of made these animals more susceptible, but this was actually a virus. And so the Swiss Institute of Virology and Immunology, which is the reference lab for viruses in Switzerland, the University of Bern, announced a few days ago that they found what caused the outbreak. And they announced that they have found a new Ortopunia virus that belongs to the Simbu group of Ortopunia viruses. Now, this is a new virus, but relatives of this virus are known quite well in the veterinary field. One of the very closely related viruses is Schmallenberg virus. That's a virus that was discovered, I believe, in Europe in 2011 and also causes a similar disease in animals, in livestock. And another related virus is Akabane virus. So these viruses, or this group of viruses, is well known, and this new virus causes similar symptoms. What has been seen also with Schmallenberg virus and other viruses of the Simbu group is that in pregnant animals, the infection can cause abortions and fetal malformation. I'm not sure this was seen now in Switzerland, but there's the potential that this new Ortopunia virus could cause this as well. Just a little bit about Ortopunia viruses. I'm not going to go into too much detail today, but Ortopunia viruses are RNA viruses that have three genomic segments. Most of their genome is negatively polarized. They have these typical large, medium, and small segments. And they also have a lipid envelope that is covered in a glycoprotein. They're 80 to 120 nanometers in diameter. We have talked about some of these Ortopunia or some of these Bunia viruses before, and we'll talk about them in the future. As I said, I didn't want to go into too much detail here because I have a number of different news stories today. What is known is that most of these viruses, related viruses, are transmitted by midges, mostly Culicoides species. And in Europe, typically these midges show up in July and then increase in prevalence until September. So it's very likely that there is more and more cases of these virus infections. And there are also already reports from southern Germany, which borders Switzerland, of course, that there are cases there too. To my knowledge, there are no cases yet in Austria, but this is certainly something to watch. These viruses don't have a lot of zoonotic potential. What do you mean by zoonotic potential? Zoonotic means that an animal virus crosses from animals to humans. This is not something that has been observed with similar viruses. And so it's very unlikely that this is a threat for humans. But of course, it's a problem for the farmers. And of course, it's a problem for the cows. But, you know, if the milk production goes down, that's problematic too. So that's one of the recent news stories. The other one is an update on the Bundibugyo Ebola outbreak in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We have had an episode about this outbreak already when it started. And even back then, it was relatively large and expanding. And since then, unfortunately, the case numbers have increased quite a bit. Specifically in the last few weeks, the cases have been going up quite fast. So on July 24th, the DRC reported already more than 3,000 cases. On August 7th, so not that long thereafter, they reported 4,000 cases. And now the case count is approximately 4,100 cases and approximately 1,900 deaths. So that's a pretty bad situation. This is now the second largest Ebola outbreak in history. The only one that was bigger was the West African Ebola Zaire outbreak that happened about 10 years ago. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. It seems that there is actually a lot more cases lately. I don't think there's any new cases in Uganda, that's the neighboring country that initially also had cases. I think there were no new cases detected there. And since I recorded that episode when the outbreak started, there have been also now two cases that have been treated in Germany. So they didn't occur in Germany. They were evacuated to Germany for treatment. And there was one case in France. And all three of these individuals survived the infection. When we look at the DRC, most of these infections are still happening in the Ituri province. About 90% of cases occurred there. But the Outuele, I probably butchered the pronunciation, the Outuele province is also affected. North Kivu is affected. And Chobo is affected. And I think that's a district to the west. So there have been cases there as well. So in general, it doesn't look good, and the expectation is that the case numbers will go up in the next few weeks and months, and it might take a long time to stop this outbreak. There are also some good news here. In July, a number of clinical trials started in response to this Bundibugyo outbreak. First of all, clinical trials started to test treatments. One of them is remdesivir. The other one is MPP-134. That's a monoclonal antibody treatment. That's a cocktail of antibodies. And so those trials started. Two phase one trials with Bundibugyo-specific vaccines started. So those were developed now very quickly. One of them is based on the adenovirus platform, the ChAdOx platform. We know that very well from the pandemic and AstraZeneca vaccine. So that same platform is now being tested for Bundibugyo. So in this case, the adenovirus vector is expressing the glycoprotein of Ebola Bundibugyo. And so this trial as a phase one started in the UK. And a second phase one trial started that was a vaccine that is developed by Moderna. So that's an mRNA vaccine. And that phase one trial started in Canada. So typically with these new vaccines, it's not well received when you start these early clinical trials in country that is affected, specifically not if it's a low and middle income country. Typically, as is done in these two cases, these trials start with early clinical development in high-income countries, in this case the UK and Canada, and if the results look promising, then this is moved into the outbreak area. What is being tested in the DRC is an Ebola Zaire vaccine. So this vaccine doesn't fit the Bundibugyo strain of Ebola. It was made against Ebola Zaire, but that's a licensed vaccine based on the vesicular stomatitis virus. And so they started a phase 3 trial with this vaccine in the DRC to see if there's any effect that the vaccine could have against Bundibugyo. The reason why they're doing that is because in a a monkey model, a non-human primate model, there was some protection by that vaccine against Bundibugyo, even though it doesn't fit the strain. And so the hope is that maybe there is some effect and there is some protection, which would already be much better than having nothing. And so these things are now ongoing, and we'll see how they turn out. But of course, there is a lot of hope that the phase one trials with the specific vaccines will work, and that these vaccines then could be used to help mitigate the outbreak. And of course, that the treatments would also be very important. Then there has also been news about a new Andes virus infection in Europe. And that's interesting, but it's not related to the cruise ship at all. So this news came out very recently. The French authorities reported that they had tested somebody positive for Andes virus. This was a person who is described as Franco-Argentinian tourist. So I guess it's somebody who is French and Argentinian, lives in Argentina, and then came to France. And that person spent the last 2 weeks of July in France, had mild symptoms, was then tested, and has since traveled to Spain. From what I've read, the person has no symptoms anymore, but is isolating now in Spain, and contact tracing is ongoing. The assumption here is that this person got infected still in Argentina before travel, and then the symptoms started when this person was already in France, but there is also not that much information about this case out. But I guess there's not a lot of danger for the general public in this case. And again, as I said, contact tracing is ongoing. Now, the last story that I wanted to mention is Science paper that recently came out and is broadly discussed, not just in virology, but also in society. And this is a paper about a virus that was generated by artificial intelligence. So this study was done as a collaboration between Stanford University in California and ARC Institute, which is a research institute that I think is also located in California. And they were trying to use AI, basically a program that's similar to ChatGPT, but for genes in a way. The program is called Evo, to make artificial viruses. They didn't do anything dangerous at all. They basically played around with bacteriophages. So bacteriophages are viruses that infect and kill bacteria. So basically good thing. Some of these bacteriophages are actually in development as therapeutics for bacterial infections. So this is not dangerous per se. And so they used a bacteriophage that's called PhyX174, and they used the genomic information of that bacteriophage and basically of similar bacteria viruses. And they trained this algorithm, this Evo, basically this ChatGPT-like program, and asked it to make synthetic versions, new versions of a similar bacteriophage. And the program actually did. It came out with about 700,000 genomes that it proposed. And the researchers at Stanford then selected about 285, and they made them. So you can just synthesize the genomic information, and then you can transform that into bacteria. And if the genome actually works and encodes for a viable virus, then the virus will be generated in the bacteria, will start to grow in the bacteria, and will kill the bacteria. And so they did that with 285 sequences that the program gave them. And out of these 285, 16 actually worked. So in 16 cases, when they took information that this program, this artificial intelligence software gave them, synthesized the genomic information and then brought it into bacteria, a virus actually formed and started to kill these bacteria. Now, as I said, this is not dangerous at all. These bacteriophages are everywhere. They kill bacteria. So that's basically a good thing in many cases. It's not dangerous for humans. But of course, it opens up a whole discussion about using AI to make viruses. Because hypothetically, you could do something similar and then ask AI to make a virus like influenza virus, but maybe a new one that our immune system hasn't seen, or that has a feature that can circumvent some parts of our immune system. Or you can ask potentially AI to make an influenza virus that is more deadly or transmits better, right? So of course, this leads to a whole new discussion about how dangerous this is, what regulations are in place for research like that. And in the end, you know, if AI could be used to make dangerous agents, and of course, that could be a pretty big problem. So I guess there will be more discussions about that, specifically when you take into account the already relatively heated discussions about biosafety and biosecurity in the United States. But I think in this case, it's a really warranted discussion, because of course, a bad actor could make something using artificial intelligence that could be problematic for humans or for livestock or for ecosystems. So those were the four stories that I wanted to cover today. They're relatively short and mixed, but I found them interesting and worth mentioning. Next time we're going to do a full episode again. It might not be about viruses. It might be about an interesting finding regarding the immune system, cancer, and tattoos. So stay tuned. I'll have to see if I put an episode about that together. I find that very interesting. So that was it for today. New mystery virus in Switzerland that infects cows, an update about the Bundibugyo Ebola outbreak, a new Andes case in Europe, and AI-derived viruses that can kill bacteria. Thanks for listening in. I hope you found it interesting. As always, if there's questions, comments, concerns, please just write an email to virological@podcastwerkstatt.com. And if you like the podcast, you can always support us on Steady. Thanks for listening in, and until next time. Bye.
If you're enjoying the podcast and would like to support our work, visit us on Steady. You'll find the link in the show notes. And don't forget to follow and leave a review on your favorite podcast app. Podcast Werkstatt.